Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that everyone will get a chance to speak, but please do not interrupt. I don't think we've got a good crowd here this morning, but last meeting, we had one man, and but he really didn't interrupt, but I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better for y'all, so I'm learning as we go. Mr. James.
Precious, our Father, we thank you for the time to be given here today, Father. We ask you to lead us and guide us and direct us every decision you make according to this will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I need approval of the minutes for August the 4th, regular meeting. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch?
Second.
Second, Mr. Valentine, all in favor?
Aye.
Need a motion for the minutes for the August 18th regular meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Valentine?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the vouchers.
Motion.
Got a motion, Ms. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Valentine, all in favor?
Aye.
Any constitutional officer here would like to speak? Motion to go in the public hearing.
Aye.
Got a motion, W.C., second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
One recreational vehicle in the Agriculture Ag Zoning District in accordance with the petition dated July 27, 2022, be located on the property described as follows. Dixon County Parcel Number 11-08-13-0000-3676-0105 at 1201 Northeast 9th Penn Avenue, Fresno, 32008, District 1, Jody Stevenson, table.
We got several opposition. I reached out to them. They're going to be pulling a building permit and going to build rather than do the RV, so I'm going to make a motion to deny.
Got a motion to deny. Mr. Stevenson, second. Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
Aye.
A petition by Leonard Lawson requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exception of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ESA zoning district in accordance with the petition dated 7-5-2022 to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixon County Parcel Number 02-10-13-4513-000-C-0080 at 476 Northeast 212th Avenue, Old Town, Florida,
32680.
Commission District 2, Dixon Hills.
Have you had opposition?
Yes, sir.
Is anyone here to oppose it? Is anyone on the phone to oppose it? Motion to accept.
Got a motion, W.C. to accept.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Petition by Christine Myrick and Johnny Smith requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, special exceptions of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in agriculture at zone district in accordance with the petition dated July 7, 2022, located on the property as described as follows. Dixon County Parcel Number
33092-0000-0060 at 776 Northeast 558th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Commission
District 4, James Story.
You had any calls on it?
No, sir.
I have, but they're good calls. This place here had a bunch of old houses, trailers on it, and His neighbors called him in saying, let that man do whatever he needs to do on there because he's cleaning that place up tremendously. So I need the motion.
Motion to accept.
Motion WC.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye. We have a petition by Michael Driscoll located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 25090900410000280 at 23 Southwest 294th Avenue, St. Jersey, Florida, 32359. The requested variance for a reduction of setback from 25 feet to 10 feet at the rear of home to allow for a new construction of residence. By the petition dated July 27, 2022, which is located within section 4.17 Planned Residential Development, PRD, of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with section 12.3 Variance Procedures. Commission District 5, Jamie Valentine.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
We've got a motion, Mr. Valentine, second. Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
A petition by William Norris, located on the property, is described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 25090904100000090 at 20 Southwest 290th Avenue, St. Hatchie, Florida, 32359. We requested variance for a reduction of setbacks in the rear from 25 feet to 10 feet by the petition dated August 3rd, 2022, which is located within section 4.17, Planned Residential Development, PRD, of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with section 12.3, Variance Procedures, Commission District 5, James Valentine.
I make the motion.
We got anybody oppose it?
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Valentine, second. Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
We have a petition by Edward and Sherry Manning, located on the property as described as follows. County parcel number 31091-13-4482-0000-0210 at 555 Northeast 396th Street, Old Town, Florida 32680. To request a variance for a new construction of a 24-by-30 open pole barn by the petition dated August 12, 2022, which is located within section 4.4.7, Agriculture Subparagraph 1 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3, Variance Procedures. Commission District 5, James Valentine.
I'll make a motion.
This is in Old Town.
What about? Well, now, listen.
This district.
Yeah.
I know it does.
So it loops up there.
That ain't Old Town.
No, that's all I'm saying. You're right. That's just across city.
Yeah.
You're right. You are right.
Just want to note that is wrong. That ain't Old Town.
You want to table it until we get the paperwork?
I think
that's over there behind Ocean Pond.
Well, it depends on what the post office has got listed on where it's at.
Yeah. I think it's more than likely you're going to have an Old Town, I think. No, because... Yes, it's behind Ocean Pond. But see where I'm at.
That address, you know, it's yours.
See where my house is at, I'm on the other side of that. And half my property is Old Town, the other half is Cross City.
It could be the address that way, I don't know.
Is that correct?
I didn't think mine went like 4 feet on the creek,
I don't know. Oh, that's from the whole, that's
That really should be your district.
I don't know. There's a big circle in there.
Okay, so on my letter, it's showing 555 Northeast 396th Street, Cross City. The one that was put in the paper?
The one that was put in the paper was said Cross City?
Yes.
So there's just the mistake is just on this paper right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a typo on this.
The public hearing's got it.
The public hearing has got the correct.
It's in the district. This is what I've got at the public center. Yeah. It should be 555 Northeast 396th Street in Cross City.
Cross City.
And that puts it in District 5.
Yep.
James Valentine.
It's his district. It's just wrote up wrong there.
Right. It's got Old Town. It should say.
And that needs to be changed.
So was it advertised correctly? Was not. Okay. Well, then we need. Mr. James, we got a motion to table it. Mr. James, second.
Second, Ms. Stevenson.
All in favor?
Aye.
So we tabling that one. I need a motion to go back to the board.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Mills, all in favor?
We have resolution number 2022-121, Leonard Larson.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch?
Second.
Second, Mr. Mills, all in favor?
2022-122, Christine
Myers
and Johnny Smith.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor?
Resolution 2022-123, Michael
Driscoll.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor?
Resolution 2022-124, William Norris.
Motion,
Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Valentine. All in favor? Swanee River Economic Council. Anybody here to represent them? Swanee River Economic Council.
Yeah, they submitted their budget to us before we come in and submit it. We accepted it.
Okay. Okay. Mr. David, you're up next.
Ms. Margaret, will you grab those lights out there by you? Set those on and lift them off of their neck, if you would.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Cato, and I am the light for now.
Oh, I don't know. Go ahead, I'm sorry about that. We'll turn them off this week.
I'm the spokesperson for the Stormwater Task Force, and you'll hear me say some things during this presentation, and I'll give you, during this presentation, when you hear me say the few, it is a paraphrase of a speech I read years ago by Winston Churchill, where he said, "Seldom have so many owed so much to so few." The many is all of us in this room, everyone that was affected by the 21 flood. The few is the people who stood up. It's all the people and the organizations that stood up to help. When you hear me say the word we, it's referring to A, the task force, the county manager's office and his staff, the road department. We worked as a team. So if you'll hear me say we, that's who it is. Okay, I need to acknowledge a few to start with. The few. Board of County Commissioners, you that gave us the opportunity to do the trust. trust you gave us to do the job. I think you made a wise move, and I think you'll find that out. Knight Farms, Sanchez Farms, who carried this ball to start with donated equipment and labor that we worked for weeks and months up to free up the system so it would move. We got the water down, and then we started installing culverts. Department of Transportation, especially the Chiefland Maintenance Office. Private landowners, especially Bascom Southern, Mr. Kevin St. Lawrence. 99% of what we traveled across was one entity. And Kevin was there the whole step of the way. Senator Jennifer Bradley, Representative Chuck Clemens, Governor DeSantis, who helped bring on more funds that we got last spring to the point of $2.7 million to help us finish our task. But most of all, Mr. Steve Hutchison in the County Road Department, who hauled equipment, culverts, rock, and water, whatever we needed, water knee-deep, raining, it didn't matter. We were on the job. Whatever we wanted, it was there. We had priority. That's the reason we've gotten so far so fast. This is a LIDAR map provided by Suwannee River Management, again, the PU. And this shows why we're here, why I'm here, and what happened. We had average of 50 to 55 inches of rain in less than 100 days. Not since 1948 we had this much rain. So it's no one's fault, no administration's fault. This is an act of nature, and we have to deal with it. August 3rd, state of emergency was declared in Dixie County. August 19th, stormwater task force created by Florida County Commission. November 2021, Dixie County Board of County Commission approved over $770,000 in the American Rescue Plan, or ARPA, funds for stormwater mitigation within the airport canal system. This is profound. While riding in the area with Commissioner Stevenson, Dwayne Cannon, and Dwight Knight assessing the damage, he saw this young mother dragging her children in a boat. And it broke her heart. She was dragging these children to the school bus two times a day. And her attitude was so great. She wasn't blaming anything or anyone. She was just glad she was able to do this. So while it broke her heart, it made us so proud of her that it lit a fire under our posterior. And we did all we could. After all, over 60 inches of rain had fell in less than 100 days and resulted in the flooding. But since then, I wondered, 1948, did mothers haul their children in boats? What happened? I don't know. We can't find anyone that remembers that flood, but that was 75 years ago. Here we go. This is the number one, this is the single largest employer in Dixie County. And it had been evacuated, as you can see why. We needed to get that back in operation. We already had permits, the ability to start cleaning the canal, which would drain the prison to start with, the surrounding areas, the city. The city was floundering, pumping water all it could. We already had the permits and the ingress and egress from Kevin St. Lawrence, so we could start the work there immediately. So that's what we did, because it would have taken years to get permits to dig something. So we figured what we needed to do was unclog the system, so we set about it. This is some of the stuff we did. This is culvert replacement. First thing we did is cut Road 30. We cut the second grade. And a few days later, we came back and installed culverts. We didn't really have the right size culverts we needed to replace because we have to replace the same size as we take out. So Dwight found some culverts next to the Marvin Martin Road, which were redundant. They were 10 feet apart. And we dug them out and started installing culverts. We did that for about a month. The county ran dry of culverts, and at the time, all this problem was going on with shipping and trying to get a car. So in the meantime, we contacted our legislative representatives, Senator Bradley, Chuck Clemens, Governor DeSantis. We asked and pleaded for financial aid. So in this last spring, Governor DeSantis delivered us a check for $2.7 million, which should carry us on into the next couple years, completion of this project. Thank you, Governor DeSantis. As you can see, this area you're looking at is approximately 10 miles from the yellow line, which you see is 19, down to Hudson 19, which is in the far woods. Well, that's where we worked for the first few months. It was no easy task because the water was waist-deep everywhere, and it was a challenge to put culverts in waist-deep of water when it's running about 3 knots.
Who had to get in the water to do all that?
That would be me. Everyone else is scared of the water.
So when you say we put the culverts in, you were down there hooking up the chain.
Yeah, right. I think that's why they brought me along. Yeah. All this was done with donated equipment, donated monies, and donated labor by Knight Farms and Sanchez Farms. They carried this ball for months. Now, this is the epitome of community up here. That's me, and I'm staring at this jungle we're supposed to clear with 30-foot booms. So you can imagine working a traco in that. Well, it would be very difficult. But what happened, Suwannee River, again the few, came to our aid. They gave a special exemption to cut those trees. Because it was a man-made waterway, it didn't fall under, I think, the 33-foot rule, which any natural waterway, you have to be 33 feet away to cut any trees. So we got special exemption from that, and that was the game changer. That's what brought us to the front right there. This is some more of the jungle that we worked in right here. And this was all on Bascom Southern property. Mr. Kevin St. Lawrence, again, member of the few who stepped up and provided us with the ability to get in there and clean this mess up and get going. This is Blue Rock, and this is the first of our contractors started to work in July, and we got one hoe working. Now we have four, or we will have next week, which is pretty bad. This is right-of-way and easement approval. Thanks to the support of Bascom Southern, Suwannee River Management, an easement was approved to ensure maintenance of the canal system long-term. So the complete length of this, when we get through, which will be about 12 miles, you'll be able to drive a vehicle down it and spray it and maintain it. This thing was dug, as best we can tell, with WPA money between 1935 and 1943. Because that's and if you look at the timber that came out of there, you can believe it's been that long. We need these right-of-ways. If we're to continue on across private property, we have to have ingress and egress. We have to have it subsequent to when we get started. We can't work this equipment without it. We have to have open space and the ability to get to it. This is more debris and cleanup in progress, and you can see we're progressing quite well, actually. Here we have a turbidity barrier in compliance with the Safe Waters Act, and this was facilitated by the Dixie County Road Department. These guys came in, cleaned these things every now and then, redeployed them as needed, and again, part of the queue. Here Here we have multiple machines to work at Blue Rock, and it worked out really well. They have excellent operators, and trust me, go out at night and looks at them, he'll know in a heartbeat if they can operate right or not. Since he runs anything from the roller skate to the track line. There's Mr. Knight there. I call him the tip of the spear. His vast experience made this project possible. He was the right man at the right time for the job. And we are very fortunate in this community to have community members like him that will step up and do what needs to be done. Actually, they've got looking ahead. He's looking ahead for mud holes, put me in it.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. If you'll indulge me just a moment, I've got a couple more things to say. After all, I've worked for a year, so you're going to have to sit there and listen to me for a couple minutes.
You need some lights?
Please. When Kathy and I moved to Dixie almost 45 years ago, we quickly realized that there was a strong sense of community, much like where we left them. In times of joy or tragedy, people came together to celebrate or help, whether it was a fish fry, a barbecue, a raffle drawing, or just a party, just like one big family. And if I may give you an example, and this example will remain in my mind forever. Kathy and I were coming back from Disney World with the children. They were in grade school. We were coming across the middle of the state. And a highway patrolman came up behind me and bird dogged me for seemed like a week. And I thought he was going to get in the back of the car. He was so close. So I was waiting for him. Finally, he turned his lights on. And I said, what did I do? I wasn't speeding. I wasn't doing anything wrong. So I pulled over and grabbed for my license, and as I looked up, it was Tom Daniels. He said, David, you didn't do anything wrong. He said, I saw that tag in Dixie County, and I just had to stop. I mean, that was how he loved Dixie County and how he missed it, because he was, and that's the sense of community. After working on this project for a year with all the people involved, I'm here to say, the family's still strong. Now, Dwayne would have a...
Is there a video right here that you want to show?
This is the end product of the fruits of our labor. If you sit here and watch this for a few minutes, Dwayne will come up. And while we were doing this, that freed the county up to go to Old Town and start unplugging culverts and rearranging over there. It was all a team effort. This is the maintenance office from Cheveland. And look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
And it's quite functional. Suwannee River took core samples all the way up and down the canal. We roughly had two and a half feet of debris, settlage. So this is about that same depth the whole way. So it'll retain water, but once the water reaches a certain height, it'll start running. And that was our problem before. Our culverts were about 70% max already before we got the flood water. So that left 30% to carry that much water. It just didn't do it. It just didn't. It went over everything. So our theory is once we get this finished, it'll start running. And keep running. And the evidence of that is last spring, from approximately March the 15th to April 10th, we had 22.5 inches of rain. I don't know if anybody ever remembers that. I gauge it by the culverts that go across 351 in front of my house. The culverts started running approximately 3.5 to 4 inches, where before, on a 36-inch culvert, they were about 25 inches of water before it started running. And that water was detected in the Davis Islands approximately 80 hours after the last rainfall. So that tells us that water got that far is a normal run. Water moves about half a mile per hour. Moves a little faster in ditches like this, but sheet flows, it'll be roughly half a mile per hour. So that's 80 hours. We send it down to the crabs and the shrimp and the oysters where it needs to go. And like we've been working under the sword of Damocles since we started. And it's liable to end any time. Luckily enough, the rainfall is held off. That'll shut us down. So instead of praying for rain, everyone, pray for God's love. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Mr. David, I want you to make sure you tell everyone that we said thank you very, very much for the hard work they've done for all of us.
We're proud to do it.
Yes, thank you. All right.
Mr. Chairman, there's a couple more slides right here. I'll just note for the public and for the record that Mr. David alluded to during the flooding impact, the board gave full support to the flooding task force. And we had a couple of commissioners riding around in boats assessing the flooding. I don't know if you want to add to that, but that is Chairman Story in that canoe looking at wells and looking at where the water's running to in the back of the yard.
That's where I learned how to ride a canoe without turning it over.
No, but like Mr. David had also said, Stormwater Task Force, they got to work with the ARPA funds in a certain area that we was allowed to be on. During the meantime, the board approved to purchase the grade off. And the impact of the flooding in the area, we addressed over 27 culverts in these flooded communities. And since then, the board has removed all sediment and debris out of the 27 culverts. And also, is the next picture where they, yeah. So the 27 culverts was removed, and we got a group in here that actually pumped all the debris out of these culverts. And that's a shot of there. We moved over 250 loads of sediment out of approximately 10 roadway ditches in the Old Town area. So we haven't just strictly focused on the airport canal system. That's where we could use all the heavy equipment in this meantime by having the right of entries. But out in the Old Town area, we haven't set dormant either. The board has installed culverts out there, you know, removed over 250 loads of sediment in the ditches, as well as cleaned out 27 completely clogged culverts that the commissioners and residents had found during the flooding marked, and once the water went down, we was able to clean those out. So we are moving in the right direction on that as well. And on top of that, the board has allowed our engineering firms and our staff to submit for multiple grants. And with those grants, Mr. David talked about the $2.7 million. But we've also got an airport and prison abatement grant. And we've also got a drainage project out of the airport that's on the five-year plan. So there's stuff been put in place, and a lot of this takes time. But the board, the Dixon County Board of County Commissioners and staff has moved forward in other directions in getting funding in here to help with that. That's all we have, Mr.
Chip. I'm going to add some more to it. So the few of y'all that's here that likes to play on Facebook stuff, when you start seeing and hearing these people says that we ain't doing nothing, y'all feel free to fire back. Y'all just seen it. We've just got started good, so get after them, okay? We thank y'all. All right, so
I want to add something, too.
All right.
Not the very beginning, but when David and them pulled them pipes out that he's talking about out here, the water had went down just a little bit, and then right after that, it come back up. Well, I was riding through the hammock and was stopped by a gentleman that wanted to talk to me, and Channel 20 News was there. Asked me what I thought was going on when I explained it in great detail. Channel 20 News used two words I said. Okay. And then they interviewed him for about 30 minutes and put all the rhetoric on there. Where he said, those pipes that they've taken out there has caused the water to come back up on us again. Where there was no water at all where the pipes were. Okay. So that kind of stuff, it makes extreme headlines. I was interviewed three times by Channel 20 News, which I'll never be interviewed again. But The second time, I was at Guy Richardson's house looking at what he'd asked me to come look at, and there was some bassite big floating around. He's like, pick that thing up, let me see what it looks like. So there's two of them there, and I grab them and pick them up. She got me. Yeah, I made headlines. I was fishing during the time when everybody was working on the floodwaters. So they nailed me pretty good on that. And the third issue was, a fella asked me, said, what in the hell are they doing down on Route 30? When they ought to be up here in the hammock digging. And I said, look, buddy, this water has to have somewhere to go. Okay? You got to start at the bottom. He's like, well, no. So you can explain it to you blue in the face, and they either understand it or they don't. But when it gets printed, the worst is going to get printed, I promise you. So that's my little deal about people wanting to interview me and talk to me. I'll do what I need to do and keep my mouth shut when it comes to explaining things. We appreciate everything y'all done. Y'all done really good.
That's just, we hope it'll last. We figure this will be this board's legacy when we get through it. That's what it'll be. Because it'll be here for years and years and years. And properly managed, this won't happen again. We got 50 inches of rain in the next 3 months. We wouldn't be anywhere close. We wouldn't lose the president if it was.
Yeah, put it that way. Well, as everybody up here knows, it's something that's been needed to be done for a lot of years that we never had the resources to do, and you guys started it. If you guys hadn't went out there and started this thing, we'd have never got the money. You guys showed what we needed the money for, and we got the money, you know, and that's...
Our legislative representative went above and beyond here. They came against us. I mean, we called them in a few days. And the next day, they were here. We had a meeting, and we started. We had several meetings with them. But they were instrumental in getting us the funds that we're going to need to get started.
But the way I see it, you guys gave them what they needed.
Yeah.
To go move forward. It wasn't you guys saying, well, if y'all bring us this money, we'll start digging over here. Y'all went out, took it on your own, started it, and they're like, wow, we need to get on board with this. So we thank y'all tremendously. This whole county thanks you.
One thing I want to add to it while y'all on Facebook, please understand that that's big check that DeSantis gives us was a picture check. Hell, he ain't got no money, but as work is being done, we submit that to Tallahassee, and they cut us a check to pay that back.
Reimburse.
They reimburse us
as it goes.
We're not sitting here sitting on all that money.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And the other thing is, you know, we still need to, on the Willowhoe Canal, we still need to get those right entry fields. We can't get in there and clean that out if we do not get all those papers filled out. And, you know, anything that the public can do to help us in that endeavor, we've sent out letters, we've done everything we can, but, I mean, we've got to get that young guy to be able to get that ditch clean. And I can't say enough for the Canal Committee and all they're doing and everybody pulling together, but we still got a lot of work to do. We ain't out of the woods yet. But please help us any way y'all can. Thank you.
It's amazing how a board works. Everybody has strong points. And what Jody just said, I was going to say some of it. What WC said, I was going to say some of it. Probably what I'll say, they'll think the same thing. But it's kind of unique to watch a board work. And I was fortunate enough, or am fortunate enough, to be part of the Stormwater Task Board. And it's amazing to go out there and watch a group of citizens, honestly, just caring, loving citizens, because that's exactly what they are. donating time, money, effort, and a lot of energy. There's probably not a person sitting here. There's not a person sitting on that stormwater task force that ain't suffered 1 o'clock in the morning with your wife waiting on you to hopefully give you a hot supper, what you're hoping for. And we've all been there. And it's the unseen stuff. They've said it, Jamie said it, and I'm going to say it, Mr. David's going to say it. It's the unseen stuff that makes our county unique. There's going to be cake auctions, and everybody's going to buy cake. This county supports one another, whether we're doing a mullet fry, cake auction, raffling off a gun, whatever. But that's the part of this county that you just love so much. But I promise you, when you're down, they're going to be there to pick you up.
Amen.
Because everybody wants to trip you up also from time to time. If you get too far above your, or they think you get too far above your means. And that's the humbling side of it. And it's just a great honor to be part of this. Yes, we're not perfect. We've had some issues here, there, and yonder. We've argued and fussed and carried on, and it's just part of it. But at the end of the day, there's not a caring person in their hearts that don't care about this community. Along with a lot of citizens, for this, there's going to be some that go there and just they thrive on bad news. WC said something about TV20. Jody, he done some interviews. Mark Hatch did not do no interviews. He's already been down that road. So I referred him back to the EOC. That's where our spokesman is every time they called me. And literally, these people from Tampa, Jacksonville, Gainesville, Tallahassee, I had one out of Georgia call me. I referred them all back to the EOC. These people right here fielded the same phone calls. I'm quite satisfied with Mr. David and Mr. Dwight. They done the same thing with them. But the thing about it is I want everyone to know that the few, what Mr. David was talking about, is many. It is truly many that have stepped in behind the scenes, don't want no credit for it, wouldn't take no credit for it, but they just love this county. And we live in one of the best places, including Gilchrist County, that anybody could ever ask for. But I said that clutching it, Miss Jackie, but Gilchrist County, Levy County, Dixie County, there are a lot of the same type of people living in all these surrounding counties. And I'm humbled and proud to be part of it. Thank you.
James, you got anything to say?
No, I think you said it when I'm done. Sure is.
All right, well, let's move along. Swanee Water and Sewer. No. Thank you again.
Thank you.
See y'all. When he gets to move that back to the seat.
Okay, it's hard to follow. Board, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Steve Copeland. I'm the new general manager at Swanee Water and Sewer. Very unprepared today because I found out about 40 minutes before the meeting that I was supposed to be here. So.
Yeah, you kill me.
Yeah, welcome over
here. I've been going to the board meetings. I'm a resident out there, and I was really realizing how dysfunctional the board is. So, Jimmy Lynn, the chairman of the board, said, well, why don't you apply for the job and fix it? Well, I did, never expecting to get the job because, to be honest, I'm not the best candidate. There were other people that had more experience, had the licenses and everything, but I have the managerial experience. I've owned my own businesses, and so I ended up getting the position. Well, I've been in it for 2 weeks. One of the first things I found out, there was no preventive maintenance on the lines. First thing I said is, guys, let's go blow out the lines. We've got about half the town already done. And I've already had comments from the residents saying, the water doesn't have that funky smell anymore. Some of the lines had root balls in them. Some of the lines were just full of sediment. So we're out there now. My goal is to have the whole line done by the end of this month. Since I've been there, we haven't done any new installs, but I have been riding with the guys, so I want to know how the job is done. And I think we have a good crew out there, and I'm looking forward to having a long tenure there.
Mr. Steve, thank you for stepping up. We appreciate it. On behalf of the board, I'm coming on speak on behalf of the board, if they don't mind, because that's in District 3 there. I intend most all the board meetings whenever I'm able to. I've missed probably one or two this year. So thank you again for everything you're doing, and feel free, anything we can do, reach out to any commissioner setting up here, county manager, anything we can do to assist. We'd greatly appreciate the opportunity to assist you, and that's about all I have. But thank you again for everything.
I appreciate it, and, next meeting, I will be prepared.
You're
already doing real good. I know a little bit about the sewage side of it, so pre-maintenance on that line. I'm going to help y'all with your pump failures and everything else. It's going to reduce y'all's cost tremendously. So my hat's off to you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
40 minutes ain't bad, because we can't drain them about 30 seconds.
You've got to have an answer.
Mr. Greg, Mr. Bailey?
They had a family issue.
Okay. Rockefeller and Associates?
I don't have anything left to anybody has questions.
Thank you. Miss Cindy?
She's at the library. Okay.
Mr. Freeman? Road department. No. Chauncey, he's not here. Mr. Latson.
The only thing I got for the board is we passed our yearly BP inspection. I see that you got some.
We're working on hard work.
Yes.
We are working on, Mr. Chairman, out there today, we're working on the safety issue on top of the hill with the concrete issue we had with the loading ramp there. That should be taken care of over the weekend and back operational by Tuesday. We anticipate it could be Wednesday.
Are y'all still trying the best you can, maybe running the packer trucks up there?
We send the packer trucks to Greenville. We are unloading the blowout trucks with the budget trucks.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Leon.
Leon, do you want to give a quick update on the license fellow, Mr. Jason? He passed his test, no? Did we do that last time?
He got approved for his provisional, so you've seen him out and about. He's been riding along with him this past week.
Brown?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I've got 10 or 12 pages here.
Gentlemen, all of you know that Ms. Butler is in the process of transitioning now as our business manager. Ms. Summerall has been hired to replace her. Ms. Butler's resignation was effective a couple of months ago, but we did keep her on. She did stay on voluntarily to assist us, making sure all that transition went well and teaching Ms. Summerall everything she needs. She has a new job. Her official last day now will be September 30th. She'll still be available anytime we need her for calls and stuff, but we've started making those legal changes that we have to make. I've got three resolutions that I need to run by each of you this evening. I'm going to read them completely since I haven't spoken to you. I think they're in your packet. So this will allow us to get the signatures that we need on Medicare, Medicaid, things of that sort of grants and so on and so forth. So if y'all will, I will start with having that order. Resolution. And before I do that, let me say we did word these exactly as they were previously. One of these will require every signature from all the city board members. There are some legal reasons for that that I have to do that. So that this first that I will read will require everybody's signature. Resolution number 2022-126, whereas this resolution says to take a list of all the authorized Medicaid signups for Dixon County Emergency Services, whereof it is hereby resolved that Dixon County Emergency Services is under the jurisdiction of the Dixon County Board of County Commission as a local government entity. Furthermore, the list of Summerall's an authorized signer on behalf of the Board of County Commission for Emergency Medical Services billing until otherwise rescinded. Dixon County's political subdivision is required under Article 8 of the Florida Constitution of the Board of County Commission. It's compromised with all the five members of the board and all of you listed there as witnesses in the bottom. So that is the first resolution that I have.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Mills. All in favor?
Aye. Second is resolution number 2022-127, resolution of the Dixon County Board of County Commission designating the Dixon County Authorized Emergency Services Grant Official. Whereas this resolution designates Aaron Brown as Dixon County Authorized Grant Official for Emergency Services, whereof it is hereby resolved by the Board of County Commission of Dixon County, Florida, that they do hereby certify this designation as effective upon approval of the entire Dixon County Board of County Commission. And is valid from the day of hire until otherwise rescinded by the County Board of County Commission.
Motion.
A motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Ms. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye. Third is resolution number 2022-128, whereas this resolution designates Melissa Summerall, Peach County's authorized emergency medical billing coordinator, whereof it is hereby resolved by the Board of County Commission of Peach County, Florida, that they do hereby certify this designation. Is effective upon approval of the entire Dixon County Board of County Commission as valid from date of hire as otherwise rescinded by the Dixon County Board of County Commission.
Motion.
Yeah, motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Mr. W.C., all in favor?
Some of those things with myself, that was Mr. Alexander, the school list is there, that have not went in and changed those as we started going through these. We found these things. Make sure we have all of it in place on my retirement and some months, this will have to be done again for that portion of it. So right now, they will be active and different. So you want to make sure. There may be some others that I have to bring to you as we find them. We're trying to get them done prior to October 1. So, the other things that I have are some more informative. But first, we have another official item I need to come by you. Ms. Jackie told me I had to do where she strapped my legs. We asked approval, I think last meeting before, to go ahead with the additional dollars for pay raise for our staff based on the mandates that the state and federal government passed down. The board approved that. After I discussed that with Ms. Jackie, the beginning date was October 1st, which falls in the middle of the pay period. She's requested that we make that change to the pay period prior, which would be September 19th. That is basically 2 weeks early, and we wanted to make sure that the board was okay with that, so they don't have to be pay changes in the middle of a pay period.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
Number five, ISO yesterday. Well, let's back up. Last week, based on some grants that we've applied for and some state guidelines, we were surprisingly informed that we would be going through our state compliance inspection from the state fire marshal's office. It basically is an evaluation of our policies, procedures, and rules that we have internally to make sure that we're providing proper protection for our staff, breathing apparatus, things of that sort, to meet the respiratory guidelines, OSHA guidelines, so on and so forth. That's something we've been through before. It's an every, I think, 3 years, is that correct, Chief? Every three-year process that allows us to be eligible for these grants, but it also makes sure that we're safe and well. 3 years ago was the first time we had done that. The state sent down representatives and assisted us with getting everything in place that we didn't have. Surprisingly, we were very close. We had a few respiratory guidelines we had to change some policies on, but everything else we pretty well met already. Ms. Sue Michelle came in last week and went through our stuff. It took a total of about 20 minutes, and we passed the flying colors. So I want to let you know of that. While we're there, I'll go ahead with the results of that inspection. We had applied for two state grants, one for prevention and safety and the other for operations. Prevention and safety was for 37 hoods and 37 pairs of gloves. This allows us the ability to give our crews a second set of hoods and gloves. This is the primary thing that we touch and have smoke against our skin and body and the causes of cancer. So the state has said that that's one of the primary things we need to pay attention to. So now whenever they have a working fire, they can take their gloves and hoods, throw them to the side, put their clean ones in their gear for the rest of the ship, and get those washed as soon as they can. And previously, we didn't have that ability because they had one set. Gloves are about $100 to $150 a set, and hoods are about $100 a piece. And I'm just guessing there. You can calculate the numbers when I give it to you. But we applied for 37 hoods and gloves. And that was a total of $9,123.46. That was a $2,575 grant, so we had to pay a quarter of that. We have budgeted, we have grant budget numbers in there. We did receive award while we were doing the compliance audit. She informed me that we were approving. We did. She just had to make sure the paperwork was in place. So I have paperwork here of that approval. This morning, Chief Bass got approval for the operations side. We applied for 10 sets of turnout gear, which was a total of about $40-something thousand. It's about $4,000 a set. They only approved 5 sets, which I figured they would. That's normally what they approved because they have limited funds to work with. But we did get 5 sets approved at 100%, which is a total of $20,767.50. So that will take care of the additional staff that we're working on and start replacing some of our other outdated stuff. In the past, the state did not worry too much about that, but a few years back they changed some guidelines and rules, NFPA standards, which made it such that after manufacture you can only use that for 10 years. It's no longer compliant at $4,000 a set. Doesn't matter if it's good or not, doesn't matter if it has holes or not. If it's 10 years old and someone gets hurt in it, first of all, it's my career. We're not going to let that one happen. Secondly, y'all are going to have to deal with Ms. Chang, and she's going to have to deal with somebody else. I'll be gone, so that would be on y'all, but I'm not going to let you get there. So, but with 37 staff at $4,000 a set, you can calculate that up. In 2012, we applied for an AFG grant, and we received 20 sets a year. It's 2022. That's 10 years. We have 20 sets a year that is or has went out of date. We've been working diligently to replace that, make sure everybody's good, and we are there, but that's the impact that it has. So these grants are very helpful to us. Yesterday, we sat with Mr. Joe, somebody that starts with a C that has a long last name I won't try to pronounce. Joe come down to do our ISO evaluation. I briefed y'all a few weeks ago on this. It's a pretty impactful survey of your fire department. It sets the insurance rates for the homeowners. Primarily, they're focused on commercial rates, commercial protection. I told you in many, many board meetings that to have road, you have to have water, sewer, and fire protection. Everybody always says water and sewer and forgets the fire protection, but without the fire department, you cannot get insurance for a commercial building. You can't get insurance for a $2 million commercial building. You will not get a $2 million commercial building, gentlemen, unless the owner of that company is an idiot. So it makes a difference. That rating runs from a Class 1, which is exceptional, to a Class 10, which is no fire coverage. Some of that we can fix, some of it we can't. 40% of the evaluation is water systems. So, one water and sewer, if you're still here, thank you very much for your help. And Fanning Springs, we have to go through, Horseshoe Beach, Big Bend and Gina, as well as the town of Cross City, because all of those provide different water sources for us. That's 40%. Fire department is, I think, 50%. Communications is another 10 or 20%. So there's a lot of different areas that fall into that that we have to provide information for, a lot of people we have to reach out to, a lot of things we can't change. I have to have a set number of people per truck responding to the call with the right amount of training for the year. If they miss one day of training that's required, they don't count for the year, which means they don't count for a firefighter on that truck. Just that critical. Chief Bass had a binder that was literally 4 inches thick for the county's evaluation. They told him next time they wanted it on electronic format. But we will not know the result of this evaluation until probably a year from now. We have time right now to fix some things that we know we can change that we're working on. After that evaluation result, we will still have a time frame that we can go in and resend and fix and hopefully change that. In our last evaluation, we were rated a 5X. We started at 1 as the best and 10 as the worst. We're midway. That's actually not bad for a small rural volunteer department. We were rate to 0.1%. We were just within the 5 range, so we were right close to a 6. There's a possibility we may drop back. We may go forward. We probably will not get to a 4. There's a lot of climbing to do to get to that ladder. But our staffing is the biggest thing. We've lost quite a few volunteers. We've gained some paid staffing. So it offset some, but there are some differences. I can't tell you where we'll be, but he did assure me that we wouldn't be too far off. So we have some preliminary numbers to look at. We still have some evaluations to do on that 4 inches of paper that the chief asked me. City was also done yesterday. They're evaluated separately because the city fire department is its own entity. Probably 80% of my staff are members of the city fire department. So we work very closely with Chief Lyles. We work to get the fish books together, which is about 2 inches thick, maybe. That evaluation went well as well. They're a 3X. A little easier for them because they're in a small area. They have a good water supply to all the residents, so it helps. Their staffing situation is not good, just like ours. So we're hoping that they remain the same as well. They were in the same situation just inside that 3 mark. Could revert back to a 4. But that has direct impact on everybody in this room and their homeowner base. So even though it's geared towards commercial, if you are within 1,000 feet of a fire hydrant and within 5 miles of the fire station, you will get that 3 rating. If you are outside of 1,000 feet of a dedicated water supply, you will get the 3X, which is basically says you have a fire department that have pretty good capability, but you have no water. If you're outside of 5 miles of a fire station, we'll be ready to class 10, and there's nothing I can do about that except build fire stations. And that's something we just can't control. We're still coming, but that's the way they rate it. So there are areas of the county that are, of course, class 10. You mentioned the money a while ago. I want to say thank you to the governor, the senators, and the representatives. That big check for $10 million that we got, supposedly. I got a few million of that, so everybody thinks we got $10 million to dig ditches, but we got $7 million for fire stations. That's going to help, but it'll be down the road. Improves capabilities. But I just want to give you a brief update on where that inspection is finished, except for the catch-up that we have to do. There's things that it always comes that you can change and fix. He gives ideas, and Chief Bass is working diligently on that already. So hopefully we'll maintain a very, very good rating there and be able to move forward. I think I'm done, gentlemen. Do y'all have anything to me?
Thank you.
Thank y'all, gentlemen.
Mr. Scott?
The only thing I really have, I just want to give y'all a little heads up that we are moving forward with the voice over IP phone system. We got the fiber installed. We're still waiting on the road parts to go in, but I'm going to start with the county manager's office, ISIS, and building zone first just to get the peaks worked out and get it put in. Once we get that in, we know what we're doing. Move forward to the courthouse. That's just information only.
Thank you.
What that translates to, if you can't get a hold of us at our office, just do our work in our office. It's probably going to take, 3 to 4 weeks? No, we do. It's been a long time, even Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
Ms. Gail? She's not here. Ms. Holly? Ms. Angie? Thank you, Miss Andy. Yep. Mr. Twain. Mr. Cannon.
Chairman, I do have a few things here. This is the manager's report.
We have open enrollment started today. They will be here on site the 13th, 14th, and 15th from 8 to 4. There's 3 days here in the board.
Okay.
This is also including some supplemental policies as well. So even if you don't carry health insurance, please come check out the enhanced supplemental policy.
What days is it?
What?
September 13th, 14th, and 15th. It was in those packets that we brought to your office.
Yes.
There's Angie's up here.
Here in the boardroom. Mr. Chairman, is that it, Ms. Angie? Thank you for that. Action item number one, I need board approval to execute resolution 2022-129. It's in support of the FDOT bridge delivery and design alternatives for County Road 357 over Sherb Creek, County Road 357 over the California Swamp Bridges. The DOT will be handling these projects. They are just requesting a resolution in support of these projects for them.
Motion. Got a motion. Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Number two, I need board permission to void the contract with Triple D Construction and Site Work LLC for the Dixie County Cross City Flood Management Improvements at Ruth Range Middle School due to some bid bond issues.
Got a motion. Got a motion from WC. Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
And with that, I need board approval to re-advertise for the Cross City Flood Management Improvements at Ruth Range Middle School.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Number four, I need board approval for the upcoming year's fiscal year 23 county holiday schedule as presented.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Number five, I need board approval for a selection of an engineering firm for the oversight of the DEP, Dixie County Airport and Prison Flood Abatement Grant. This is a grant that we applied for last year and got approved during the flood. It goes right along with the Stormwater Task Force progress and with the ARPA funds. Mr. Chairman, I need to...
And that, well, you request us, well, don't we have a Lockyer?
Lockyer Associates is working for the Stormwater Task Force now.
Okay.
My recommendation would be to continue to utilize them to board decision.
Motion to use Lockyer Associates.
We've got a motion from WC.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
All right. With that being said, then I need a motion to approve a task order for Lockhart Associates to provide engineering services for the airport and prison area stormwater
motion.
Improvement.
Got a motion, WC.
Second.
Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Number seven, I need board approval to accept the Dixie County SHIP, S-H-I-P, annual report for closeout of fiscal year 2019-2020 and the interim year for 2020-2021 as presented.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Number eight, board approval for the Amendment 1 to the Airport Canal System Project, Phase 1, contract between the Dixie County and Blue Rock Incorporated to add a long-reach excavator comparable to the HX300LR for the hourly rate of $310 of the required equipment portion of the contract based off of Stormwater Task Force recommendations, and the board attorney has reviewed it. I don't know if you want to hear that, but it has been approved by the
attorney. Got a motion from WC. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Who seconded that? I'm sorry.
Mr. Stevenson.
Thank you. Number nine, I need board approval to allow the tax collector to designate a parking spot over here in the new parking area by the city park for the purpose of administering driver license tests. So it'll be coned off, be signed up, it'll be utilized for the public, but it won't be a specific parking spot that you can park much.
We've got a motion, WC, second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
I saw the action items. We've got a few information items. All county offices will be closed for the Labor Day holiday next Monday, September the 5th. The following day, on September the 6th, there's a community connection dialogue meeting for the open to the public at the school board meeting room from 4 to 8. Number three, September the 8th is the tentative budget hearing at 5:30. September 15th is the regular board meeting. September 19th is the final budget hearing. And on those right of entries, number six on here, we talked about the right of entries, and Commissioner Stevenson alluded to it. We still need 46 more residents. We had sent email or letters out to over 100. It was like 115 or so, and we have them all back with approval, but 46. So what the Stormwater Task Force will evaluate and we'll bring to the board for approval, once this airport phase gets through, we will look at another shovel-ready project to move forward. And if at this time, if the hammock is ready, if we have all the right of entries where we can move forward legally, that would probably be the next phase to go into. However, if it's not, we would probably go to Twin Lakes or the old 19 area, the big canal across the old 19 that goes towards Gina. There's some other options there, but we can't stress enough to make sure we get those right of entries.
Can you provide each board member with a list of people that has not signed? We might know some people on that list, and we can go knock on their door.
Yeah.
I will
go ask that. Can I get a list?
Sure.
So maybe we can, we were talking about knocking on doors and everything.
So
they're down to 47 people. So I'm sure between everybody here and some audience people, they might know some of these people. We can might miss them in the mail or whatever, or don't understand what they're signing. Maybe we can help with that process.
And that's what I would anticipate, is that they're not really understanding what we're seeking, and they're resistive to it because they're not, they don't understand it.
Right. That's where I was going.
If they could have been here.
That beats 100 and what was it altogether doing?
Like 115, 120.
Right.
Letters we sent out.
Right.
And at the bottom of that request, we do have, hey, please see county manager's office if you got any questions. And we have had people come in and like totally against it. And once they come in, we explain it, show them the maps. They're like, my God, I signed this yesterday.
Yeah.
It has helped to explain it. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman, unless you'll have something else. From you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. China.
I want to just update the board a little bit. I know we talked several times about the Old Town property and the Swanee property, which currently belongs to the school board, but they are given over to the county. I talked to Mr. Dale with Delta yesterday. He returned my call. And he said that he was 99% finished with the property in Swanee. The property in Old Town is 100% complete. We're ready to do the exchange with that, or the county. The school board's ready to do the exchange. They've got that portion done. We're waiting on this last little leg. So he said he would get it done and get it to me. So I'm hoping between now and our next board meeting, I will have that ready so that the county will become the proud owners of those two properties.
And make
me sick.
I'm so excited.
And that's it. As far as, you know, we've talked about the lawsuit. We filed our answer in that. Again, we're second lien holder on that property. Questionable if we'll get any of our reimbursement for the ship money. That's the one I'm talking about, is the lawsuit, or the foreclosure that's been filed. But we do have the proper paperwork filed, so if there is enough to go around, we'll get reimbursed for our ship money on that. Everything else is moving forward. I did talk to, I should have wrote his name down, but opioid attorney, Mr. Romano.
Gary Ramon.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Romano. I talked to him. We will start seeing some money coming in from that. It's going to be processed. There's going to be several layers of the payout. But we are going to get some funding. He has sent me some tentative amounts. He said by no means was that absolute. I will forward that to y'all so you can review it, because like I say, they're very tentative, because we've got no projection right now of whether we're going to get, you know, $500 or $500,000 or, you know, big nothing. But he believes that we will fall somewhere in that area. We have submitted. He said if we're good on everything, then we should start seeing some reimbursement money coming to us, and it will be left up to the board to kind of determine which account it was to go into. Right now we've got it selected to go into general funds, but once we get the checks, then we can look at where the money come from and actually, you know, divvy it out like it needs to be.
I would like to see if it's come from the upward stuff. I'd like to see it go back toward fighting that within our community.
And I think a lot of it's going to be very specific on where we can send it as we get the payout. But like right now, with the settlement amount, the big settlement amount, so I understand I'm not talking about just Dixie. I'm talking about the state of Florida, the payout amounts have been reached. There'll be some that the state receives, and then we'll also get some from the federal that the feds receive, which was pigeonholed for, you know, the whole nation, and we'll get the Florida portion of that. Again, he couldn't tell me any kind of projections on whether we'll get some next week, next month, next year. But the tentative approval is there, and we are going to be receiving some funds as I get more information, I'll let y'all know. This is very preliminary as far as the settlement agreement's been reached, and they're beginning to get the okay to release these funds. But they're, the way I understood it from him, as it comes out, they'll send out a check. This is for the reimbursement to EMS for, you know, all the overdoses or Narcan or whatever, you know, was committed for. That would be going back there. And at that point, maybe we can give Ms. Jackie and finance and a little bit more direction. Okay, this check was for this section. I'm still getting up to speed on that. That's a 3 or 4 year litigation. So bear with me. I know y'all have probably more questions than I have answers, but I wanted to give you at least a heads up that we are looking like we're getting close to the light at the end of the tunnel on that litigation. And that's all I got.
Ms. Hickam-Bottom?
I'm good. I think my finance team has some stuff for you. I think you also have a copy of the yesterday at 2:47,
15 seconds,
yeah, got our draft audit report. Yeah. You have to meet with Ms. Powell and the chairman. We're going to try to do that the first part of next week after Labor Day. Big improvements.
Mm-hmm.
The stepsister's not quite so ugly. We have, in 20, we had 8 funds that were negative. Got 3, which I knew that it had ended in 3. I was, if things had worked out better, we could have headed that off, but with my husband being sick and all that, we missed it, that opportunity, so we just still ended up with 3. On the audit, they're down to 4 findings in the board, and one of those is solved completely by hiring the IT person. That one will completely go away. We are working on trying to get a fixed asset inventory done this year. Shannon, we're going to do our best to get some form of that done. And that'll make that audit finding go set for 22, and you're going to be down to 2 with any luck. But anyway, it's not published yet. We have to do our response to the audit findings. The clerk's audit came out really good, too. Again, not perfect, but we're heading in the right direction. But way, big improvement. And, hats off to my ladies and my office, too, and Barbie and Vern, because it's been a process. It has been a process. We're not, like I said, we're not perfect yet. We probably never will be, but at least we're way better than we were. We'll be sharing that. Hopefully he'll be here on the 15th is the next regular meeting. Hopefully he'll be bringing his report. I don't want to steal his thunder because
he'll go over stuff with you at that time. But at least we're really close to having that in our hands, and we'll be doing that response in the next week. Any questions?
Thank y'all for what you're doing. It's a lot of hard work. We appreciate it.
I'm doing a little bit of celebrating. I'm not dancing down the hall yet.
One thing Dwayne mentioned a while ago, they're going to be working on their phone line stuff, so you act like you might be a little hard to get a hold of. You do have a cell number, right?
Yes. Very responsive to us. It's taken a village, y'all. It really, really has. And, you know, my hat's off to the department heads and everybody else, and Mr. Cannon, of course, and Martha. If it wasn't, you know, we all had to kick in and do our part. Finance for the clerk's office cannot do it by themselves. It's got to take everybody working together and everybody doing what needs to be done. So that's our goal, is to be transparent. And everybody to know that I want everybody to know what we know, and that's the goal. And for us to do everything by the book and as close as we possibly can. Like I said, our ugly stepsister's not quite as ugly.
Good deal.
My hat's off to everyone involved. We have to get it cleaned up and get it presentable and something we've needed for many years. I want to thank all of y'all.
Commissioner Adams, Mr. James, you got anything to say? Yep.
On the value adjustment board, just a reminder that your organizational meeting is September 22nd at 9 o'clock for board members, and that homeowner position is vacant. You have to have someone to position.
Okay.
In order to have a board.
Okay. Okay. We've been talking to some people lately. Okay. Okay. Need someone to agree. Y'all hear that? We need someone to agree to help us. Mr. James, you got anything to say? Mr. Hatch?
Darren, is your paperwork ready for board signature?
Yes, sir. You should have it.
Okay, y'all, I know everybody kind of gets up and leaves.
Yeah, don't.
Jamie holding the ball.
Yep. Signature. I ain't going to hit the hammer until we all signed it.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay.
Ms. Stevenson? I got a couple things. One, I was contacted by Mr. Wayne Barnes. He's going to be recapping his driveway, and he was wondering if the county would step up to help him with that endeavor, because it's our responsibility from the street to the property line. I know they did roads in the past, where they were some milling foot down, and the county, the homeowners paid for half, and the county paid for half, so I was looking at a board direction on how to handle that, on him getting a bid and us helping him out with that, or what is your thoughts on that? Because that's going to alleviate us from any maintenance on that driveway.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yeah.
is it asphalt now? Is it already?
Yeah, he's already paved it one time. He's just going to cap it.
He's requesting for cement.
He's going to get with sand chip to cap it, whatever that is. I don't know.
The only thing I understand what Jody's saying 100%, the only thing that I'd be real hesitant on is we would need a separate bill showing just right away. Can't turn in a whole bill for his whole driveway, because then you're on using public funds for private property. But just a right-of-way area, if we could get something like that, I wouldn't have an issue with it. So,
that's all he was requesting,
yeah,
from the property line to the street.
Right, but that bill,
for something
that bill needs to look that way, or say that, because if you turn one bill in for the whole project, it would look, to me, a little different.
Well, me personally, what I'd like to see happen is
get him to get a bid from that property line to the street,
Same thing I just said.
And then UP.
Turn it into us for approval for
partial.
Yes. Same thing I just said.
Yes.
I'm good. Y'all want me to
tell him that, but I don't want to.
Tell him we didn't approve it, but get that
get
and then
the
get
and
we'll yeah, exactly. Then we'll go from there.
The other thing I have is Dante's frame.
I went to Miss Martha a couple weeks ago, I think it was, Martha.
Yes, sir.
About the RVs down there and they put household items, windows and stuff stacked up against the warehouse. I know that's been over 2 weeks, that RV and all that stuff is still there. Aren't we on a 2 week rotation to have to move in and out?
It's
14 days. Okay, I think it'd be Ben's secure check or notes.
Okay.
It's still there. There's tents all around. I'm getting tons of complaints. This is a large pavilion. It's just stacked with clutter of household items. It's awful. I've got two calls this morning before I got to the board meeting. I got to speech yesterday. People want to go down there with their families and stuff, but it's like there's a crew that has just took over the whole center right there.
Okay.
And it is, you write down there, it's a real eyesore.
Yeah. I mean,
and the other thing with the springs is the bank, corrosion, where the spring goes into the river. We probably lost 15 to 20 foot of bank being modest right now at the spring. On that edge, we have 5 foot sheer straight drop offs with no kind of flagging, bearings, and somebody could step, you're talking about getting hurt. I'm talking about it straight down. I sent Dwayne videos. The chain link fence that we put up on the left, it's eroded it so bad that the fence is falling down. We've got to address this somehow or another with some riffraff or something and try to gain that bank back. And also the dock pavilion, the hinge on the right-hand side where it connects to the hill is broke. So we've got a lot of stuff going on down there, but mainly we got to do something with the campers, and I mean, they got windows stacked up against the pump house. They come from somewhere.
And Mr. Chairman, when we got those notifications, we did submit it to the road department. It's on his list to get taken care of all these issues. It needs to be taken care of. There's no doubt about it. It's a ongoing project. We will definitely.
The other thing, on our parks, is there limitations of what, when you're camping, is there limitations on what you can bring there or not? I mean, what is the guideline?
Well, my question is, do we have an agreement that they're signing when they're renting that?
They sign that they receive the park rules and regulations. So we do have a park rules and regulation pamphlet that the renters do, or the leasers, or whatever they are.
If you'll give me a copy of that, I'll look at that, see if we can beef it up some legally. I think it's going to fall back to some of the other issues that, I've kind of talked to you about entry and everything, where not only do we want them to find they got the rules and regulations, we want it in there that if you do this, this, and this, you're out of there, and you can hold us harmless, because when we go spend county money to clean up, when they hook to it and leave all that mess, and we have to send a rollback in there and haul off a dump truck full of stuff to pay for, it's like anything else, get blood from turnips sometimes is impossible. But if we've got some of this in place, maybe we can at least have some teeth there and on occasion maybe we can.
Is this
what it looks like to me?
Is this stuff that people left behind?
No, sir. What is this right?
They're still there.
What it looks like to me, WC, they was renting somewhere and they don't have nowhere to live. So they have moved into the park, and they have brought everything they own with them to the park. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
have they been there more than 14 days?
I know the RV has, because Martha can look back on her records and see when I come in and told her about
it
and all the people complaining about the household debris, windows, clutter. And the tents, they've been there quite some time. I started talking to them yesterday about the pavilion being all just heaped up. I mean, it's literally heaped up, that stuff. And they said they'd only been there a week, and they had like 8 or 10 tents, but they had 12 more people coming this weekend. So I don't know what we got going on down there. We got to get and my phone's blowing up.
And it's at every park. I mean,
who's ever gone to it? Didn't we have somebody
there? There is a group there.
Living down there? Yeah. They live, why aren't they taking care of this?
That's some of the issues.
Okay. Start right there, and then we'll go from there.
Yes, sir.
And if they don't want to enforce the, because if I'm not mistaken, we give them free electricity, phone, the part of the part to maintain this where Jody's phone don't blow up. We got someone there not doing their job. Fix that problem, then the rest of it will be fixed.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, I reported it. I didn't go directly to the park attendant because I'm supposed to go to the county manager's office.
You done right, Jody.
I went that way, and this is where we at.
Yep.
You done it right. I mean, but we have someone there that needs to fix the problem.
That's all I got. WC. I
just want to thank everyone for a good meeting. And y'all seen our little slide, so please share that with the public. And some of the ones that's here, you see what it takes to clean our other canals and ditches and stuff. So please share that. If they haven't signed them papers, try to get them up here. I know we still want to keep this slide, and if they need to watch the slide, I imagine that Miss Martha and Miss Dwayne can show this to them up there to explain it better. But we just need to get these people to sign this so we can get down there and get the rest of these canals cleaned out.
I know we didn't have the time, but if we'd have had the time, when the flood was going on, they'd have signed whatever you wanted them to.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now it's y'all's turn. Anybody need to say anything? Anybody want to speak? I see.
Well, I was just a lot of camping, and I was just going to suggest, I noticed that I camp probably 4 or 5 months out of the year, and there's more and more trash being left by people when they hook up their RVs and they leave, and maybe consider requiring a credit card deposit for cleanup. So when they rent the site, if they leave it clean, they're not charged for anything. And if they leave it clean, the credit card will not charge. Just a suggestion.
Thank you. We even charge for camp.
Yes.
We do not have a credit card.
Yeah, we don't have the capability right now for
it. You know, and that is a good idea. And really, that would be a wonderful thing to not have to deal with cash.
Yep.
That'd be much safer for everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have to have internet capability at all these parks. Right.
Yeah, we try.
Most of them got a plug-in thing for an iPhone that you can.
Like a cell phone. They've got a cell phone.
We provide phones to these attendants, right?
The ideal thing would be to have a reservation system and do it like everybody else does.
On the parks and the RVs that's using electricity and stuff, what is the county charging you?
Not enough.
Now, I think we got someone doing a study. Ain't we got Dwayne?
She showed us of all the community centers. We didn't do the parks.
How much we charge?
It's going to look just as bad.
For residents, it's $10 a night for a camper and $8 a night for RVs. Non-residents, it's $20.
I don't even cover the electricity.
$20 for residents for RVs and $10 for tenants.
For one night.
For one night.
Yeah, about a third of what it ought to be.
I thought it was $10.
It's $10 for residents. For rent, that's 10. It's $10 for residents.
I'll bring you all the information.
Yeah. I think we definitely need to address that. All the work that we have to do out there to keep that up.
You've got a potential there to have another more draw to get tourists coming in here and year round people coming to these parks if we had we collected the right amount and we invested it in the park to have a nicer facility for these people that they have.
I'm sure you don't find it.
You'd be increasing a lot of ecotourism for the county, and that's a good place to be.
And I would definitely recommend, like Miss Jackie made the comment, that we do have like maybe a central spot that they call and make their reservations. I'm going to go to Camp Picante for a week. I have to call them Miss Angie to make my deposit. Yeah, I know Angie.
I call Miss Angie.
You need that emotion?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
yep.
Needs to be evaluated just like everything else, like the community centers. I would definitely set before y'all when we look at it, just like the trash cans we're going to talk about in a little while. Recommendation, everything needs to go up.
Yep.
But when I come on with the board back in 2015, y'all had just went through this a couple years before. Y'all had made the changes, the board made the change to up the price. Two board meetings later, y'all put it back because of residents.
I think I was part of that. And I'll tell you the history of it. What the board was thinking then was we was trying to push to the private sector with the campground. We have a lot of campgrounds within our county. So we was trying to up ours above theirs to try to get people going to support private sector. We about got hung, literally, whenever we done that. So about doing it, it didn't take long. With you think your phone's blowing up now, but hey, time to do whatever we got to do.
Hey, it didn't cost taxpayers money or cost. I mean, we can't be losing money on doing
right.
It. We can't operate under risk.
So anyway, that was
the history. Do the operations.
Do the
study
on it.
Yes. Mr. Jody said it. Let me hold that. 2 o'clock. I want you to restate that at 2 o'clock.
I will. 100%.
Anybody else like to speak?
On a side note, on the credit card thing, I think that would be wonderful for the community center as well.
So you're agreeing to do it?
If we were to go to a central I think an online system, delegation, you could go in there, input, and I think the city has got one, correct? Y'all go, plus the online system for the payments for, I think, the water and different stuff. And we do it for the building department. So, I mean, we have the technical buildings, we got some programs that are utilizing the similar system. I think that would, we still would have the park attendance, you know, because they'd have to get a receipt showing I paid and I'm allowed to camp here. But I think in the long run, it would be a much more cost efficient. And also, it would do away with like the paper process where they have to sign them when you go on there to reserve your reservation. It could, you know, you electronically sign and all agreeing that you're going to abide by these rules and your credit card's already in the system. So then you've got your park attendant who says they left a mess and we flag their card. And to either they come correct it or whatever our procedures.
Swap their card again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you've got
all. It will be a great system all the way around. Then you're going to have accountability of how many are here.
Exactly.
How many paying and not paying right now. I think we're getting it, but we may not.
Exactly. I think, you know,
and
it's
sure.
Like anything else. You know, you said it, we're business.
And then when their 14 days run out, it's out.
That's right. And,
anybody?
If they don't move, call somebody down and hook to it. Move it.
Yep.
Anybody else?
Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We've got a motion.
Second.
We've got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Y'all don't leave till we sign these folks. All right, this Dwayne, is this just sign one of them? Or
she has the
right one. The right one? And we need to sign with a blue pen?
Yes.
I can't sign.